You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
President Trump was right. Remember back in 2017, well, when President Trump said they were spying on me and the press and all the Democrats said, no, they weren't. And then in 2019, then Attorney General Bill Barr said spying took place at the FBI on President Trump's campaign. And everyone said, no, no, no. Well, now we know for sure. Now we know 100% John Durham's revelation, John Durham's filing here. Yep, there was spying going on, and it was worse than we thought because they were spying on the sitting president of the United States, and it goes right to the Clinton campaign. So God bless John Durham and his investigation. It's taken a long time, but we're getting to now what we all suspected. The only thing we didn't understand was it was worse than we thought.
It was worse than we thought. Those are the words of Jim Jordan, Congressman of Ohio, and he says that all this talk, remember, you remember the talk, of course, about everybody saying that Trump, when he was saying that I've been spied on, nobody wanted to believe him. Nobody wanted to believe him. They kept saying he's making it all up. They mocked him. These, at that time, the main controlled media was trying to just dismiss it. They wanted you to look away because there's nothing to see here. Don't bother investigating this. And the Durham report was supposed to go be, it was going to be nothing, nothing. Well, now we're seeing as it begins to come out, there's a lot more to see. A lot more to see than what we've been told. And what we're getting now is we're finding more and more evidence. And we're getting to move up the ladder. Make a point of that. We're moving up the ladder. I think we're broadcasting live on Larry Connors USA YouTube. I'm not seeing it. Larry Connors USA YouTube. I'm not seeing it at this point, but maybe you are there. But at this point, I'm not sure we are, but we will be shortly. So if you're trying to watch us there, I'm not sure we're there. But here's where we're going with the Jim Jordan statement and others. Former FBI investigator says it was clear the FBI was being weaponized by Hillary Clinton and all her cohorts, and the Department of Justice, and the CIA, anybody they could rein in to make it look like they knew something you didn't. You knew the facts. Trump knew the facts. But, of course, that was what Trump was saying. There's no way to really defend against it when you're just going to talk on and on and on. They want to focus, of course, the Democrats want to focus all on what happened January 6th. This is now going to take us back to when Trump was in office. There's a statute of limitations may be involved on some of these cases, so it's going to be a rush to get some of them in under the door. But if we can prove perjury, and some of those in line to be charged first and have already been charged, they're facing perjury and more charges coming as the John Durham report continues his investigation. So we're going to turn over some more rocks. We're going to find more people under it hiding, and then they're going to lead us to deeper into the cabal that was, you want to talk about an insurrection of a government? That's what they were trying to do. They were trying to carry out an insurrection of the government. We'll be getting into that. Also going to be joined a little bit later in this hour by Kenneth Raposa. He is the industry analyst for the Coalition for a Prosperous America. He's also foreign staff, foreign correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, senior contributor to Forbes covering China. We're looking at what China is doing. While Russia's in play, China's got its game going too, and how it affects our economy now, today, tomorrow, and down the road. They play the long game. You want to know that. And before we wrap up today, I want to be joined by Randy Mayfield, former missionary with Central Presbyterian Church. He was in Ukraine just last December, has been talking to numerous Ukrainians that are still there now, and he's assessing their mood. I mean, they obviously are frightened. Americans are being told to get out. Well, some Ukrainians will probably try to get out, but they may not be able to get out. And is there going to be a war with Russia? And is Russia going to invade? Or is the White House now pushing this narrative, trying to push us into a war? We do not want U.S. boots on the ground, but we have some 300 in their last report. Embassy staff is apparently out. I don't know why we have some troops still there. I don't know what the next mission is. I do know more troops are being assembled, more fighter jets into the region, and Patriot missile defense systems. We've got a lot to cover, my friend, over the next 3 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Love and happiness. Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We obviously cannot predict the future. We don't know exactly what is going to happen. But the risk is now high enough, and the threat is now immediate enough, that this is what prudence demands. If you stay, you are assuming risk, with no guarantee that there will be any other opportunity to leave, and there no prospect of a U.S. military evacuation in the event of a Russian invasion.
So there we have the Jake Sullivan warning, which was given the other day, and things are beginning to ramp up at this point. Here's the latest we have on the Ukraine border, Russia border crisis. We are live streaming on Larry Connors USA YouTube, Larry Connors USA YouTube, so you can look in on the program while we're doing it. Glad to have you watching, listening, sharing with others so they can also join us. I appreciate it. The latest is that the U.S. officials still warning Russia could launch an invasion as soon as this week. They're now talking about Wednesday, 2 days from now. That's one timetable that's been presented in meetings apparently with NATO and other countries. But they're still holding out hope that diplomacy will prevail. Well, let's hope it does. Secretary of State Blinken announcing the U.S. is closing the embassy in Kiev, announcing it today officially, relocating remaining diplomatic personnel to a western city. President Biden apparently speaking with President Putin and Ukraine's Zelensky over the weekend. No major breakthroughs. We told you about that yesterday. The German chancellor meeting with Zelensky in Kiev today. Again, an ongoing de-escalation. Now, Germany, keep in mind, has not really offered any defense weaponry of any type to the Ukrainians. Why? Well, they're a NATO country. Germany is. Ukraine's not, so they don't have to. But the real reason why is because of their dependence upon Russia and that 750-mile pipeline running under the Baltic Sea, maximum depth would be about 200 feet, if that much, from the northwestern part of Russia to the northeastern part of Germany. They are looking to have something half of their fuel needs supplied by that pipeline. So they want it. Now, when the German chancellor appeared here with President Biden recently at his first meeting at the White House, President Biden, of course, had him stand beside him, said, "We will stand against Russia. We will impose sanctions as needed, whatever is needed." Now, when Biden says that, if he means it, that means we will shut down that pipeline. Exactly how, I'm still not sure. No one's told me that, and I don't think anyone else has. They're certainly not going to try to blow it up. You can imagine the pollution that would cause within the Baltic Sea, which is kind of landlocked, has some salt water coming in from time to time from the Atlantic. But that's not how they'll do it. The pipeline's ready to go, just waiting on some final checks by the German engineers before they say start pumping. And the company controlled by Russia that runs a pipeline stands to make something like $15 billion a year off of it. So in a way, it's very clear that Russia, this is a big economic risk in addition to lives and stability to their economy. Had James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation on the other day making that point that this could be a big crisis for Russia. So it may not be so much our posturing, puffing up, acting like we're bully. We will not let you bully us, and we're going to defend. Although no one believes Biden knows what he's doing. And if we don't believe it, do you think the Russians do? And then again, the bigger concern is economic for Russia. But again, Jake Sullivan the other day in saying that you need to get out of there now. So they did not move their embassy until just today. For most Ukrainians, apparently, the thought of the potential war is never too far away, they say. It's been on their minds now for 8 years, of course, ever since Russia illegally annexed Crimea back in 2014. And one is being quoted, a 32-year-old said, "This feeling, it's something new. Previously, we don't feel such tension and real danger. We had conflicts, but there wasn't a real danger for Kiev." Do you realize 100,000 Russian troops are in Belarus, 2 hours from Kiev? General Milley has already said if they decide to come through, they could take Kiev in 72 hours and a loss of 15,000 Ukrainian troops, 4,000 Russians. We're not even talking about civilian casualties, just those. And they might go through the Chernobyl zone, which is basically closed off. And that's why they might choose that area, path of least resistance. We do know Ukrainian troops have been training in that zone. Ever since Chernobyl back in 86, it hasn't been occupied. But now there's training underway, Ukrainian forces being massed, because they don't want that to be an open door for Russia to come through. Jake Sullivan is already warning Ukrainians, and actually warning Americans as well. In fact, that's his prime interest. But Ukrainians are listening to this same message. Here it is.
If a Russian attack on Ukraine proceeds, it is likely to begin with aerial bombing and missile attacks that could obviously kill civilians without regard to their nationality. A subsequent ground invasion would involve the onslaught of a massive force. With virtually no notice, communications to arrange a departure could be severed and commercial transit halted. No one would be able to count on air or rail or road departures once military action got underway. Now, again, I'm not standing here and saying what is going to happen or not happen. I'm only standing here to say that the risk is now high enough and the threat is immediate enough that prudence demands that it is the time to leave now. While commercial options and commercial rail and air service exist, while the roads are open, the president will not be putting the lives of our men and women in uniform at risk by sending them into a war zone to rescue people who could have left now but chose not to.
And yet, at last report, we still have some 300 troops in country in Ukraine mission's not clear as to what they're doing. If the embassy is now closed or at least being relocated to the west, maybe that's where those troops are. That'd be mostly Marines guarding the embassy. There may be some other troops we're not being told about. We do have troops around the border with NATO countries. And as I mentioned in the beginning, we now have 8 additional US-15 fighter jets landing in Poland, also adjacent to Ukraine. Well, President Trump was asked on Fox News, what's his assessment of what's going down and how did we get here? Here's President Trump.
First of all, it's shocking because this should have never happened. It should have never happened. It would not have happened. And how we got here is when they watched Afghanistan and they watched the most incompetent withdrawal in the history of probably any army, let alone just us. They saw that, and President Xi and President Putin, watch what happens with China first, with Taiwan. But they watched that, and they said, what's going on? They don't know what they're doing. And all of a sudden, I think they got a lot more ambitious. I think Putin really wanted to negotiate for a period of time. I think when he watched Afghanistan, when he watched that unbelievably bad withdrawal, incompetent, where they took the military out first, where they left $85 billion worth of equipment behind for the Taliban to have and to sell and to use. And, of course, the death that happened. When they watched all of that, I think they got emboldened.
Yeah, I would imagine that's true, don't you? They've seen the debacle we had getting out of Afghanistan, and they figure this guy, the commander-in-chief of the country now, doesn't really know what he's doing. His advisors might be telling him things, but just yesterday or over the weekend in that interview with Lester Holt, he basically denied. I was never told things like that could happen that fast. No, they never told me. I didn't know. I mean, question, riddle me this. Did they tell him and he forgot? I mean, did he actually look at papers or were they just talking and he just kind of passed through because he was trying to decide what flavor of ice cream he wanted? I don't know what's in his man's mind right now. I wouldn't even begin to guess. But I do believe that we would not be in the situation where Trump's still in office. You can like him or hate him. I don't care. But do you think we have a strong leader in the White House now? Every survey that comes up, I'm looking right now trying to find if there's anything new on any survey that makes it appear that maybe Biden is getting stronger and that some people believe he's getting looking better. I'm looking at every survey here, and I don't see a single survey that indicates he's doing any better in any ratings. The economy continues to go wacko. We know that. That's going to continue for a while. I'm looking. Let me check. I tell you what. I'll even go to CNN and see what they have to say. Do they have a survey that makes him look really good? No, I don't see it. You know what I do see? We're getting into this in the second hour. What I do see, big headline up on one part of their webpage, Trump lawyer withholds 11,000 emails from January 6th committee. Give me an effing break. Hillary Clinton held back 30,000 emails from a server she was not even supposed to be operating. And she made the determination they were not for public view because they had no value. We never investigated that. But Durham's moving up that chain. We will spend time on that in the second hour. But here's the other thing. Even if Trump is right, there's another part of the fact. The lead negotiator now for the U.S. is, of course, Biden. He's the one talking to Putin. Now, I told you that the German chancellor is going to talk to Putin today. It appears that the British ambassador or someone is going to come in and talk to Trump, Biden later today. I'm trying to see if that's still on. It's a last report. It still is. But in the midst of all of this, and I think he's right about this, as far as Putin's concerned, when Biden is talking, blah, 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 it says nothing to say. So he's not even listening.
I wouldn't be in this position because we're in a very bad position right now. And it would have, as I said, it would never have happened. I know him very well, got along with him very well. I stopped his pipeline. I sanctioned them more than anybody ever sanctioned them. Nobody was ever tougher in Russia, but I got along with Putin very well. We respected each other. I think you have a whole different ballgame right now. This is just an exercise. He's not going to tell him anything, and I don't think Putin's at this point going to be listening. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does in terms of the depth. Will he take a small piece? When Biden originally said he's going in, everybody was like, did he just say that? Nobody could believe it, but he said it. And it was almost like a card. Ukraine went crazy when he saw that, when they heard that, the president. But now the phone call, I think, is perfunctory. I don't think much is going to come out of it.
I don't either, because it's just that, a phone call. Would you expect that just talking to Biden will calm Putin down and give him a sense of we've accomplished what we need to, we don't need to go deeper? Or do you think it would just tell him that door's still wide open? Speaking of door wide open, it's still wide open down along the southern border. You know that. So in the next segment, let's spend a little bit of time in this hour on these reports coming out in the Durham probe. A lot of folks thought that's dead, it's gone, it's passed. Oh, no, 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 no. It's a snake coiled up ready to strike.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The conspiracy theory and the misinformation came from Adam Schiff, the Democrats, and the mainstream press. Remember what Schiff said, there is more than circumstantial evidence that President Trump worked with the Russians. That was false, completely false. The media reported it. It's proven to be false. But I tell you what, there is certainly now more than circumstantial evidence that the Democrats and the FBI and the Clinton campaign spied on President Trump's campaign. So, yeah, the country sees it. It seems like everything they call us for on misinformation and, quote, conspiracy theory actually turns out to be true, and they're the ones peddling the false narratives all the time.
All the time. Those are the words of Congressman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, and he's absolutely right. And riddle me this. How many stories have you seen, not that you bother looking or listening, but just you want to take a guess how many stories have been covered on New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of the like on the Durham report? They're ignoring that as much as they can, just as they did when the Johns Hopkins study came out a couple of weeks ago stating the draconian lockdown served no purpose. It didn't reduce deaths but by 0.02% maybe. And it absolutely upset the economy, has endangered and hurt our children for years to come because of the mask. They ignored all of that, too, if you remember. They absolutely ignored it until Monday of the following week. They kind of slid it under the door like, oh, look at this report came out. If that Johns Hopkins report had come out and said the lockdown saved this nation, it would be wall-to-wall coverage. Same thing here with the Durham report. That Durham had come forward and said, okay, we're done. We're not going to get any more interviews. We're not going to do any more. There's no more subpoenas to be served. We're done. Nope, that's not what he said. He did it late Friday. That's why we couldn't have it on Friday for you. But late Friday in a filing submitted, his office said that the executive who's referred to in legal filings only as Tech Exec 1 but has been identified in news reports as Rodney Jaffe, using his company and its access to non-public government domain system data through a pending cybersecurity contract, looking for links between the Trump Organization and Russian bank. He had no business getting inside that kind of information. And we all know that. Now the Durham report is trying to get to the bottom of it, still working on it. Remember, been appointed by the Attorney General under Trump. Take a good look at it. Well, Chris Swecker is a former assistant FBI director, and he says this is clear evidence that the FBI was weaponized.
Rather than burglarize the information or break into the to get the information, the night watchman let him in. I mean, the keepers of this tech information gave that information to them. We weren't, our assessment was not entitled to that information. Then he kind of turned it on its head, cast it in a very different light, in a false light, and then passed it on to two intelligence agencies, the FBI and the CIA. So this was information that was basically they were not entitled to, and they provided false information. They doctored up the information and pumped it into the FBI to try to predicate an investigation on an opponent. Not only that, they used government contractors, people in the private sector at a university who were working on a government contract to analyze the information. That's fraud against the government.
Fraud against the government. Now, the assessment he's referring to, the filing came in Durham's prosecution against Michael Sussman, an attorney who represented one of those tech people. We're getting that more next hour. Coming up, China. Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The U.S., of course, is seen as the beacon on the hill for many countries and many peoples around the world that they want to have what we have, freedom, which includes free enterprise. But, of course, communists and Marxists, they like it just the way it is. Everybody's under their thumb, and they control everything. You farm what they tell you to. And they collect everything they want and leave maybe meager supplies or whatever for you. But, of course, we are a global nation, and this country has to deal sometimes with these foreign adversaries. And right now they are clearly adversaries between Russia and China. And in the midst of all of that is what's happening with China and the Olympics, which is still underway with a lot of major corporate support. Joining us right now is Kenneth Raposa. He is an industry analyst for the Coalition for a Prosperous America, foreign staff correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, foreign correspondent, I should say, and a senior contributor to Forbes covering China since 2011. And we are live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube right now if you want to watch. Larry Connors USA YouTube. All right, Kenneth, welcome aboard. Glad to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Larry.
So I'm looking at a piece you did the other day that was talking about this Chinese sportswear giant and Olympic gear maker, Anta Sports. A lot of folks don't know Anta. They know Nike and mostly here. Anta has a very special product, right?
Well, Anta makes everything, anything sports-related. They make ski jackets, sneakers, arm sleeves for tension and stuff. So they have the full gamut. They're like
Yeah, they're out there, but they're also preeminent in the Olympics.
Correct. They are the sponsor of the IOC, International Olympic Committee. So anything the International Olympic Committee is wearing will be one of the items of clothing would have been made by Anta.
Now, the question is, was slave labor used? Because they've been under threat from U.S. lawmakers not to use any cotton in those Olympic uniforms that they came from certain parts of China. Go ahead, sir.
Correct. That's true. So for your listeners, if they don't know, it was sometime in 2021 where Customs and Border Patrol said anything made from cotton from the Xinjiang region cannot be imported to the United States. So ANTA doesn't really sell too many things in the United States, even though there are some NBA players who are sponsored by ANTA and have their sneakers.
Yeah.
But ANTA does make clothing for the IOC. So some members of Congress, I forget who off the top of my head, they had written a letter to the IOC in January and said, make sure that none of your clothing is being used, is from ANTA. And if it is from ANTA, which of course it was going to be, can you confirm that none of it was made from Khan, from Xinjiang, which is banned by, you know, the United States? We would find this, you know, morally repulsive.
Because what? It's being made in slave camps using Uyghur Muslims and others?
It's being made by prison labor. Prison labor in Xinjiang, right. These would be the Uyghur and other Muslim groups that are housed in what Beijing calls re-education camps. And of course the IOC never responded and ANTA never responded. Now, ANTA cannot say... They could never say that, hey, we're not going to buy cotton from Xinjiang because they're a Chinese company and Beijing would humiliate them and, you know, cause boycotts just like Nike had to go through. So they're whether they like the idea or not, they're stuck buying Xinjiang cotton.
All right, there are a couple of roads that we'll go down. Let's go down first the personal road. The communists, though, I mean, my gosh, what a great display at the opening ceremony. For those who bothered watching, they had two Uyghur Muslims come light the torch. See, we're all good about China and with Uyghur Muslims.
Yep. Well, this is how it works, right? The Nazis did the same thing. They even had a Jewish woman participate in fencing, and she won the silver medal. And the message there is, look, you know, all this stuff you're hearing about us being aggressive towards the Jewish minority, yeah, it's false. Look, these guys are participating. They're in the program. They're happy. Some of them are even saluting Hitler. It's all good. So that's the same message with Xi Jinping.
So you think anyone has seen those two that lit the torch, or have they gone back to the camp?
Yeah, who knows? I don't think they have been seen, but I don't know.
And on one hand, I mean, obviously we shouldn't be laughing, but it's just the hypocrisy we're laughing at, not what the plight they're going under. But we still have major U.S. investors supporting not only the Olympics, but Antifa, or rather ANTA.
Exactly. This is how China rises. You know, a lot of people complain about China and how they steal American jobs or they stole American intellectual property in order to create their own companies that rival American companies now. But how do they do that? Well, they did it with the help of Western companies that partnered with them because they wanted to be in the Chinese market, that now invest in them. So ANTA who owns ANTA shares? Well, BlackRock and Vanguard own ANTA shares. Of course, BlackRock and Vanguard don't prop up ANTA. They're not majority shareholders. But why are we investing in this company? Why are we investing in a company?
Well, stop it right there. Why are we allowing them to do it? Go ahead.
Exactly. Well, why are we allowing them to? We don't allow them to buy. We don't allow them to invest in Chinese defense contractors, but we allow them to invest in companies that have said we're going to ignore human rights violations.
And we have to make it very clear that any business in the U.S., if they're doing business with any other company in China, they're dealing with the communist Chinese, because that company would not exist except by permission of the communist Chinese.
Absolutely. They would not exist, or they have their hands in the government in some way. And if they ran afoul of the government, the messaging of the government, they would be punished. This has happened time and time again. You name a company and they know this. They felt it.
You mentioned earlier some of the NBA players. We should point out you also made a note. Folks were listening to Kenneth Raposa. He was a foreign staff correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, senior contributor to Forbes, covering China since 2011. And ANTA also owns, and this did surprise me, the Wilson sports brand.
Yes, that's right. That surprised me as well. So Wilson tennis rackets, Wilson tennis balls, that's owned by a Chinese company.
Huh. And we mentioned NBA players, of course. You got Gordon Hayward of the Charlotte Hornets signing a sponsorship deal with them.
Yep.
What do you have? Kevin Looney from the Golden State has his own ANTA sneaker. Well, see, here we have a problem here with the NBA anyway. When they're out there protesting Black Lives Matter and putting it all over the banners on the floors and everything else, and that has come crashing down, if you recognize, in all sports, like the NBA commissioner last year said, going forward, we're not going to put all those out there, but we're going to continue to support the black effort. That's fine. But
that's fine.
For support everybody. But they're ignoring slavery and death and rape and torture of Muslims.
That's going to continue. That's going to continue until these companies decide on their own. And there's not much Congress can do about it other than sanction their own companies. which they tried doing with bans on imports of cotton, for example, made from Xinjiang, cotton products made from Xinjiang, like clothing, until these companies say, it's not as important to me to have a market in China as it is to maintain my own company values that I profess to have in my home market. Until that day happens, then they don't care. They're not interested in the Uyghurs. They've said it, right? And they're going to keep going on because what's important to them is selling widgets, sneakers, whatever it is,
yeah,
to Chinese.
And Coca-Cola, which made a point to tell, and based out of Atlanta, to say, we're going to tell the MLB they should move the World Series All-Star game from Atlanta, right, because we, being a base here at Coca-Cola, and we're big in this community, we say you should not let it happen here because the laws and reform laws on elections are going to prevent people from voting, and we're concerned about the mistreatment of people. And yet here they are right in the midst of Coca-Cola ads in China.
Yep, yep. And China, how many times, when's the next election for Xi Jinping?
Yeah, you know? Whenever he wants or somebody overthrows him,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So, you know, this is a problem for these companies. These companies are caught in a rock and a hard place, but they've chosen the hard place. And that hard place is, look, we want to sell Coca-Cola to the Chinese. That's a bigger market for us now. We know it's a bigger market for us now. It's a bigger market for GM and Ford. So we're going to do what we can. And that includes lobbying your congressmen and congresswomen to make sure that they enact policies that are friendly to them, which by default end up being friendly to China. So this is why we watch things like the Olympics, and of course we want all of our athletes to participate. We don't want them not to participate. They train hard. They got to be there.
Yeah, I'm not for boycotting for them, but I mean we did that with Carter when dealing with Russia. But in the final 40 seconds here, of course, we get a lot of chips out of China, and a lot of car makers are waiting on those chips. We've become too dependent. Same thing with the mask and the vaccine issues. All that all goes in the same circle. And you said they're caught between a rock and a hard place. It's not a hard place because our American government, our legislators, are not making a hard place.
And what's even more embarrassing is the House of Representatives, when they recently mandated mask wearing in the House again, they wanted everyone in N95 masks. Guess where they were made?
Oh, I know. Yeah, 90, right out of China.
Exactly. How embarrassing is that to be seen with a made-in-China muzzle, you know, muzzle on? I mean,
it's a muzzle, yeah. Kenneth, thank you very much for your time. Very enlightening for the audience. We'll do it again going forward, sir.
Anytime. Appreciate it. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. Kenneth Raposo, industry analyst for the Coalition for Prosperous America. Now, since he brought up masks, wait till you find out the latest city that is already entered its ended its mask mandate. Now it's ending proof of vaccination. You think Joe Biden knows about this one? This is pretty big. And the latest on the truckers' convoy. Stand by.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
And reminding you, we are now also live streaming at Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. Larry Connors USA YouTube channel. How do you like the flower I'm wearing? You think I should be? The flower looks good on me? You think it looks good? Oh, all right. We'll see. Can you make out what the flower actually says on it? Maybe not. Okay, all right. The Freedom Convoy. They still have this going on. They did do some arrests and moving trucks off so they could open in the international bridge crossing last night. But apparently Ontario is ready to drop the vax passport. How about that? That's what they were after. They're going to end the vaccine passport requirements March 1. Now, is this a little shell game? Hey, we're going to end it March 1. Go ahead and take all your trucks. Move on out. Go away. This is Feb 12. Right? I think I'm right. Okay. And they say March 1 will do it. Why don't you do it right now? What's to stop you from doing it right now? Is there something that they're playing here or not? I wouldn't be fooling around these truckers and trying to come up with something like that. But they had this vax mandate not only for truckers, but all activities, all indoor and gathering places can now increase their capacity to 50%. An indoor public setting where proof of vaccination required will have those limits lifted in completely March 1. Listen, you could do it right now. Just say it's effective today. New York City still has its mandates for that. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But the thing that continues to amaze me about how this Freedom Convoy 2022 has been basically harassed and slandered by their state-controlled media, the Canadian Broadcasting Company and others, they're suggesting the truckers protesting vaccine mandates in Canada are being directed, manipulated by foreign agents. In other words, they're trying to say there might be Russian Internet Research Agency playbook actions underway. They just don't get it, do they? They don't get the fact that we're free people. Canadians are free people as well. And they say, you know, in the beginning, yeah, we were for it, but now you continue to just do this. You're out of your mind. You think we're going to live like this. So they're dropping the vax passport, but not right away, not to March 1. Now, we're going to see how that plays out. In the meantime, does Joe Biden know that Washington Mayor Muriel Bowser, Democrat, right there encircling the Capitol, he probably knows she did drop the mask mandate when he's been telling other cities and states across the nation, got to keep those masks on, got to keep the mask on. She is now also dropping as of March 1, why do you have to make it March 1? You can do it before then. That businesses, you no longer have to show proof of vaccination, documentation again. The truckers' convoy is having that kind of effect all over the world. What gets me is why everybody's looking at March 1. Is that some special day? COVID was suddenly realized, oh, my God, it's March. We got to stop everything. You know, the other day, and by the way, before I get away from it, Senator Roger Marshall, Republican of Kansas, has introduced legislation aiming to end the current COVID-19 National Emergency Declaration. It's powered by a provision in the National Emergencies Act, the NEA. That law, when invoked, does grant presidents special powers to deal with national emergencies outside natural disasters or war. His bill would revoke many of the federal government's expanded powers to respond to the pandemic on a national level. Now, I want to remind you, because I'm always trying to be fair with you, I have my opinion and comments, and I do share those with you, as you well know. I might not always agree with you. You might not always agree with me. But before you jump in and say Biden abused, Trump also did this in the beginning. He invoked the NEA to continue and to start the national emergency dealing with the pandemic, and rightly so. And Biden continued it, rightly so, for a period of time. But now, this thing is to extend it to by Biden until March 1. Oh, March 1 is something that's somebody's birthday special I don't know about. But here's the other deal. Well, I know it's right ahead of St. Patty's Day. Man, that's what they're worried about. Let's be done before we get all the St. Patty's out there. Fauci said the other day, Dr. Fake said, and I quoted him previously for you, full-blown COVID-19 pandemic is almost over. It's almost over. Even he's admitting it. And I know he wants to credit himself, and he wants to credit all the scientists and first responders and so on. And I'm all for giving medicine and doctors that have done a lot of work on this, give them credit. But can I suggest something? Could you stop a moment and think and thank God for bringing an end to this? Thank you, God. More coming up in the next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.